are going to read 833 and 834 together, please.
833, pay bodily injury lawsuit of Edward Gorman in the sum of $145,000 involving the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
And 834, please, because I think it's the same team that's going to describe both.
I lost it, sorry.
No? No, wait, sorry.
It's a different.
Am I wrong on that?
It's separate.
No, just one after another, but we don't want to read them.
You don't want to blend them? Okay, sorry, 833, and we'll go ahead and hear from staff on that. And who pulled 833? Okay, very good.
And Mayor, well, this involves PBOD, it's coming from OMF, so it's your item, but I would just like to add that because the settlement hasn't been agreed to, we have to be somewhat careful about what we ask and what we say, because it could change the analysis and change the settlement.
Yeah, thank you for that admonishment. When it comes to lawsuits and settlements, I say virtually nothing, I let legal counsel speak for me. Good morning.
Good morning. Randy Stenquist, City's Risk Management Office. With me is Ashley Carter, City Attorney's Office, and Louis Waldrop.
Louis Waldrop, City Traffic Engineer.
So the matter before you is to resolve some litigation involving a bicycle versus TriMet bus collision on December 1st, 2015. The location where this occurred is.
Could you speak up a little, pull the mic closer?
Sure.
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, better, thanks.
The location where this occurred is one of the most complex multimodal intersections in the city: light rail, heavy rail, a dedicated bus lane, a multi-use path for pedestrians and cyclists, motor vehicles and bicycles sharing multiple roads, and numerous crosswalks, marked crosswalks, all converge several blocks from the east end of the Tillicum Bridge. Mr. Gorman was moving through the intersection on his bicycle on what he believed was an exclusive green signal for him when he collided with the side of the TriMet bus to his right, which was also moving through the intersection on a green light. Mr. Gorman suffered multiple injuries, including broken bones, which resulted in multiple surgeries. Mr. Gorman's attorney filed a lawsuit in 2017 against the city and against TriMet, alleging negligence by the city for design and maintenance of various components of the intersection, which resulted in an unreasonably dangerous condition for bicyclists and others moving through it, in his words. In September of 2018, the parties attempted a mediated settlement of this matter with no success. As a trial date approached in 2019, we tried again with Risk Management, City Attorney's Office, TriMet, PBOD, all attended a judicial settlement conference with a state court judge in an effort to come up with a reasonable solution to the matter. We did propose, and this agreement before you, this settlement agreement, is what the result of that settlement conference was. So this is to resolve the litigation in exchange for $145,000, inclusive of all of Mr. Gorman's attorney fees, medical bills, and other related costs.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I pulled this off the agenda because, as you know, I'm always concerned when we have big claims that we're paying out. And I've had some really good conversation with Risk Management because I'm trying to understand whether or not the city's bond rating, the city's insurance is at jeopardy when we pay out these enormous claims like this. And so, not specifically to this one, but this one is a large six-figure dollar amount, which is not a normal settlement for us. And as I looked at our consent agenda, we had a few of those on it. And so I wanted to have the conversation really about what is the danger, what are the risks that we're in if we continue to have a multitude of traffic accidents and other issues that we have to end up paying out these significant claims. Did that make sense?
It does, and I will defer to the bond question to the risk manager. I know that you've reached out to him already, and he can follow up on that. But as to the other claims that my office gets involved in settling some of. The money that we use to do that in every case is coming out of what's called the Insurance and Claims Fund. That fund is derived from essentially premiums that each of the bureaus pay to risk for the services that we provide. Those monies are essentially held in reserve for covering the claims that come through that we wind up paying on, or the legal defense of cases that we are not paying on. So that's where the funding source is for all of these things. Each bureau pays an amount every year based on their loss history, their exposure. Some bureaus have a higher exposure, say the police bureau, out there driving 24/7, then say the planning and development has a fairly low exposure. So their formulations are calculated based on the number of claims, the type of exposure that they have. For auto accidents, one of the calculations is the number of miles driven by that bureau. So every year they come up, accounting comes up with a allocation that each of the bureaus pays, and that's the money that we are accessing to pay on claims.
Thank you. And is that, have you ever not had sufficient resources to pay claims?
No, ma'am. The city self-insures for the first $1 million on these types of claims. And so we have excess insurance coverage available to us above that $1 million limit. We very rarely tap that layer of insurance, but it is available if we need to.
That answers my questions. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Is there a public testimony on this item, Carla?
I know Lightning wish to testify.
2 minutes each, please.
Yes. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Connectome. One of the biggest concerns I've always had is, and I think it was brought up, is on the insurance itself, or do we tap into a general fund? Now, what I found interesting here is that a statement was made where self-insured up to $1 million. Now, the way I hear that, maybe I'm wrong, is that if we're self-insured, we're going to pay that ourselves before we utilize the insurance money. Now, if I'm incorrect on that, then that sounds to me like they're going to use that out of some fund they have, general fund or wherever that fund is set up. Now, it sounded to me like they set this fund up based upon the exposure itself, either low level or high level. And obviously, the police would probably be the highest level, maybe the fire department second, because of the speed they're driving when they have to go to a certain location, so that would be expected. I would like to see a report done or maybe an audit on this situation, on understanding on how they develop that exposure level, on how much they have to pay, how many miles they have to go, and exactly how much has been paid out in each bureau. I think we're at that point where we're starting to see these type of numbers showing up in front of us to have a clear understanding. Insurance taking care of this? Is this coming out of some general fund that we could be putting more money into services? And do we need to have, upon any accident, an immediate drug test taken? And to make sure if there are any issues, that we get them corrected very fast? And should there be driver training courses put into place whenever we have any type of situation where we're having this type of number presented and paid out? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Again, for the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and I want to thank Commissioner Daly and Commissioner Hardesty for bringing this up. And, you know, here, of course, we have the sad issue of Mr. Gorman's injury. And unfortunately, because of the way bureaucracy or government works and doesn't work, it doesn't come paired with a discussion of what other money has been expended to make the intersection safer, to make sure this doesn't happen again. And that, of course, doesn't need to be dovetailed here, but that's the way tort works, is the city gets stung for $145,000, and hopefully the city responds in a way that mitigates and reduces risk at that intersection. And I wish we had a better system of government that partnered these two things, the $145,000 sting with the things that Peabody. This accident happened before Commissioner Udaly was even elected, but I know she's very concerned about Vision Zero and has probably done the things to know what's happened at that intersection to increase safety. You know, when we settle things semi behind closed doors, and the check goes to Forum Law Group. You know, congratulations to Forum Law Group for finding this person who probably had very expensive injuries and getting this money. But I just want to make sure that we're not only talking about conserving financial risk, but making sure that risk of injury is eliminated to the citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
I just want to quickly say that I'm of course concerned about any injury that happens on our road. This is a complicated intersection, but I'm pleased to report there's been no other accidents that we know of at that intersection. Since the crash, PBOT has adjusted the placement of a sign that instructs bicyclists on the multi-use path to use the pedestrian crossing, and a far side bicycle signal will be installed along with a few other changes, including changes to striping. This accident, I think, just highlights the need for everyone on the road to obey traffic laws, whether you're a driver, a cyclist, or a pedestrian. And I vote aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted.